Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
It's your time on Her Radio. Ask your questions or comment at askher@radiomd.com. Time to ask her.
Hi, I'm Dr. Pam Peek. Okay, it's Ask Her time. And thanks so much for getting your questions into us. Question number one, how often should I do cardio each week? Now, this is cardio, not strength training. Got to keep those things straight, right? So cardio is super, super important. Here's what I say, honey. It's not just about getting up and getting on over to the gym. It's about getting out of your seat every single day you can. You know, standing desk and all the rest of it, and being able to stay as physically active as possible. So when I say cardio, I'm going to include both deliberate, scheduled cardio, as well as please, please, please increase your activities of daily living. That means get off your female butt a lot more than you are. Don't just sit there and grow roots. So always think active as best you can. Okay, now for cardio. First of all, anything is better than nothing. And number two, here's something really important. It's how you do it. So if I tell you to take a walk, please, no zombie walk out there. How about some high-intensity interval training? That means that we're all time-starved. We don't have to live an hour on a treadmill somewhere. What we want to do is get our biggest bang for our buck. So in the best of all worlds, every single day that you can, you're getting in at least 20 minutes of real get-up-and-go, high-intensity interval training. Go for some walking, hit that elliptical, do the rower, do the bike, whatever works for you, mix it up as best you can. That's the way I like to do it. But when you do it, don't do it just kind of slow and boring and zombie-like, like I said. No, pick up the pace and then come back down a little again. Pick up the pace, come back down again. That's high-intensity interval training. Make certain to have a fitness professional show you how to be able to do this just once, and then you'll get the gist of the whole thing. So simple. So at the very least, you know, at least increase your activities of daily living, and then add to that real deliberate scheduled time. That means a minimum of 20 minutes a day somewhere, somehow. And, you know, 30 minutes of hardcore will do it every single time. Now, here's a word to the wise. Don't let this just flip off here and you fall off your own radar screen and then you haven't hit it for a week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks, because after a good 4 weeks of doing just about nothing, guess what? Man, do you drop your endurance. So that's really important. Stoking that fire, giving it something rather than nothing. So terribly important. It's really, really important. And of course, the benefits of cardio are amazing. Now, cardio is not going to have you, you know, like immediately stripping fat off your body or something. What it is going to do is it's going to keep you in fantastic shape in terms of endurance, and it's going to be able to keep that heart pumping and those lungs pumping the way they should, and it'll help enhance whatever you're doing with your nutrition, which better be good. All right, so it's really, really important to keep that in mind. Now, second question, what happens to your body when you eat too much sugar? Oh boy, this is a pain. An average American out there is taking in 32 teaspoons of sugar a day. Oh my gosh, that's way, way more than you need. And it's terrible. What does it do? Well, it overloads and damages your liver. It tricks your body into gaining weight and affects your insulin and leptin. Insulin, of course, is associated with taking that blood sugar and trying to regulate it as best you can. Can't do that with a tsunami of refined sugar coming your way. And then leptin. Leptin is a hormone that's found around your fat cells, and it really helps you be able to understand how much fat you got on board, and it also helps stimulate your appetite and works in concert with your hunger hormone, ghrelin. They all go crazy, you know, and when you're taking in way too much refined and processed sugar, they don't work well. So the signaling's way off. And what you end up doing is developing insulin and leptin resistance. And then you put on piles of weight. Don't need it. If you have too much refined sugar, what else happens? Metabolic dysfunction. If you eat too much sugar, it causes a barrage of symptoms called the metabolic syndrome. This means weight gain, abdominal obesity, you know, all the extra fat deep inside the belly, decreased good cholesterol, that's your HDL, increased LDL, the bad form of cholesterol, elevated blood sugar, elevated triglycerides, another form of fat highly associated with and an indicator of diabetes, and high blood pressure, all from refined sugar. Ow! And then it increases other things like uric acid, for instance. These are a risk, you know, when they go up, a risk for heart disease and kidney disease as well. Who needs all this? Oh my gosh, it's just too much. You don't need it. Get rid of it. The energy spike and crash, lowered immunity. I mean, this is crazy. So, refined sugar, what can you do to switch it out? Well, refined processed sugar is sucrose. That's the white stuff. Pitch it, honey. You don't need it. There are so many other alternatives. Stevia is an herb that you can use instead. It's a great way to be able to sweeten anything that you cook with or that you consume, whether it's a beverage or it's food. It's all great stuff. So stevia you can find anywhere. It comes in all kinds of different forms. Also, instead of refined and processed sugars, there are other things you can do, like maple syrup, grade B maple syrup specifically. Other things you can do are also, you know, raw honey. Yum. You don't need much, just a small amount. And then you could taste test this yourself. It's just amazing. And the further and the longer you've been off refined sugar, the better this other stuff will taste. And then if you ever retaste refined sugar, it tastes awful. Real, you know, science fair project like, ugh, artificial. We don't need that. All right. What are the most important medical screening tests for women is our third question. Here are basic ones, especially in your 30s. You need a full gynecologic check. And you know what I'm talking about. It's a pelvic exam, lumps and bumps, making sure everything is 100% with a breast exam, pap smear, skin check, come on now, and stay out of the sun and SPF it like there's no tomorrow. Eye exam, got to start that up early on. In your 40s, a diabetes test, and that means you're checking your blood sugar for sure, and your hemoglobin A1C. You want to keep that at 5 or below for sure. Mammogram, really important. Vitamin D test, please keep that level between 50 and 70, and that means you got to work with your provider to figure out how much extra supplement you need to be able to achieve that goal. In your 50s, colonoscopy, thyroid test. You need a bone density test. That's called a DEXA scan. Always, always make sure you know what your blood pressure is, as well as knowing your full cholesterol panel all along and your blood sugar. And then when you're young, need to know whether or not you have a sexually transmitted disease, actually at any age. So it's super, super important to stay on top of that. And that means working closely with your providers. So here you have it, the three questions. Doing your cardio each week, high intensity interval training, you heard me, and increase your activities of daily living. What happens to your body when you eat too much sugar? Bad things. So pitch the refined sugar, the white stuff, and switch it out for stevia and more natural forms of sweetness like raw honey. Yeah, we love that. And you know about that medical testing for women. Well, there you have it. Ask Her, your segment on Her Radio. I'm Dr. Pam Peek. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Keep those questions coming at askher@radiomd.com. And stay well.